from runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 452, an IT Christmas with guests Rick Klaus and Joey Snow. Recorded Wednesday, December 16th, 2015. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. And I'm having some fun because this is not my recording gear. This is not my studio. Where the heck am I?
You're in the secret bunker.
I am in the secret bunker. I'm with Patch and Switch.
How are you, Richard?
I'm good to be here.
So you have to do the announcement now, don't
you? Yeah.
It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are?
Perfect.
And now the reason your packets are missing, Patch and Switch.
I think our tagline is probably the best one, which was two guys that couldn't cut it in the landscaping business.
But somehow made a career in IT.
You know, every time I was doing some changes to my Exchange server last night, and there's not a single time I've worked on Exchange where I haven't thought, you know, I could be digging ditches. I'd probably be happier.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this is a trend, because when you were on our show, we talked about Exchange as well. Is this kind of like one of these things you just can't get past?
I finally put my Exchange 2010 server to bed last night. The VM is stopped. 2013 is now running everything. Okay. Just in time for 2016.
You know, we have this thing called Office 365.
Yeah.
You know?
You asked me about this on your show, too.
Yes.
It's like, I went to all the trouble of putting 120 use worth of rack space into my house. The least I could do is run servers in them.
You got the racks. We might as well run them.
Well, and what you guys don't know is, and then again, I really appreciate you helping me out with the gear here, is I had a flood in my basement.
Oh.
And so the server closet's 18 inches off the ground, so that wasn't damaged at all, but the rooms are gutted. All the carpets are out. All the built-in furniture is out. The walls are cut 2 foot all the way around.
Wow.
So I'm sort of stashed upstairs. I got baffles and things to try and be able to still do recordings.
Did you initiate the Azure site recovery failover to move your infrastructure up to Azure?
The infrastructure is running fine.
Okay. And it was high enough off the ground.
Right. So, and I've home
so
run.
So you fill your 48 U racks from the top down.
There you go.
You left the bottom alone.
Well, I put them up off the ground, so all is well, and everything's home run in the building, so I was able to redirect phones and everything like that, so we rebuilt the office upstairs and just continue to function. So that's my life.
Wow.
Many, many gadgets. Well, one of these days, and I hope that will be during the summertime, because it's kind of cold and nasty right now, we'll go and do Patch and Switch up at my place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe another episode of Run As too.
Another episode of Run As while we're together.
It all depends on the amount of barbecue and beverage consumed.
We'll make a road trip.
It'd be a great show though.
Well, at least in our minds after that much bourbon.
Right. It all depends on your producer. When he listens back, he's like, Richard, no, you can't air that.
We can't publish this.
That's too funny.
So it's like the 23rd of December when this show is published.
Almost Crimbo time.
Almost Crimbo time, which means a perfect time to tell everybody what toys they didn't get their loved ones. just the things you should have thought of this.
Oh, I can't believe that you bought me another pair of socks when I could have had
XYZ. This we're the worst people to buy for.
Yeah. Well, number one, our toys are generally extremely expensive,
right,
and outside of the realm of gift giving.
Yeah. And very, very specific.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
Down to the finest detail.
If I'm looking for a pair of headphones, I want specifically the Bose QC20Is, right?
Right.
Like, I don't just want to have some knockoff small thing. So my advice is I generally tell my parents and that still want to buy me gifts and other friends and family, it's like, just don't.
Stop.
It's for the kids.
Yeah.
It's for them. Buy them stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm good. Thank you.
If you really want to make a donation on my behalf, you know what? I really care about Nepal. I've gone to Nepal half a dozen times. They had a major earthquake and they can use all the help they can get. So, like, if you want to do something, that's a thing you can do.
Well, in case that somebody really wants to give geeks.
Uh-oh. You got something.
Some gifts. I've done some scrolling around, and these are things that I've just kind of see pop across the various social media feeds or something along those lines. And I took some notes. I actually did some preparation, knowing that we were this close to Christmas. I know it's not normal for me to do any type of prep work, particularly like, around Patrick's
Wedding. You know, we haven't even introduced you guys,
really.
He doesn't even really do this stuff for the show that we
No, not at all. I remember when I came down to do Patch and Switch with you guys, and you said, well, here's what we normally do. And I think I just rattled off some ideas on top of my head. I got back a note that says, okay, that's way too much prep. You need to calm down.
You just need to know what the five segments were, not what to talk during those five segments, but just what they were. But that's typical Mr. Campbell, overachiever.
Well, you know, you make a lot of stuff. I got to get it out of my head quickly. It's the only way to do it.
Well, I think this is a fun segment to do because Patch and Switch are actually on our hiatus.
Are you really?
So we won't be back until after the start of the new year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So you know, we do our once a year little hiatus. So the season is very long for us. We need to talk to the powers that be, the executives, because you know, these television series, right? You've got things like these Netflix streaming series that go off the, you know, they don't do anything for like a year, right?
I don't know. I haven't missed a Wednesday in 8 years straight.
Yeah.
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 That's so, how I work.
Well, we do our shows live, so it's a little bit different.
A little tougher.
But we're on our hiatus, so we didn't really get a chance to talk about these geek gadgets. So
Joey, hit me with the first one.
So I know that after last week, most people are talking Star Wars.
Yeah.
Prior to the release, there was also a preview of the next Star Trek movie.
Yes.
Which is fantastic, but as a holiday geek gift guide, if you're looking to get somebody something, there is a Star Trek communicator.
Oh, man.
Fully functional. It pairs. It's all Bluetooth, right? It pairs with your Bluetooth phones. They actually designed it using one of the props. They actually did 3D imaging.
So is this like the logo one or the one that looks like an old phone?
Yeah, it's the one that looks like kind of the old flip phone.
The thing that the flip phone guys model it after.
Right. So the original one, you know, with the three analog lights and the little dials on it and everything.
I love it.
And you can basically like a phone call comes in and you'd be like, Captain Kirk, and you flip it open and you're like, you know,
that's not geeky at all.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. Just it pairs up through Bluetooth. It acts just like a wireless speaker or a pair of headphones would, and you can use it for phone calls. You can stream your music to it. You just imagine. Hang on, we've got to listen to Run As. It just pops up.
Does it make a little noise when it opens?
I don't know that it does. I don't know that it does. It does. It says the communicator has built-in authentic sound effects and conversation fragments from the Star Trek universe.
Now, is this the one on StarTrek.com?
Well, I found this one on ThinkGeek.
Okay.
.com. It's $149.
Right. $150. I mean, which means it's a quality piece of equipment for that kind of money.
And it's serious geek cred.
Oh, I mean, this is what I'm serious saying. If a loved one gives a Trek fan that's an IT person, this, you have pulled a heartstring right there. You've nailed it.
Absolutely.
This is a serious product.
And this is not one of those kind of geeky gadgets like a USB coffee warmer that somebody's going to use once and then never use.
Isn't that funny?
And this is something that a true geek would carry around and wear it like a badge of honor.
No, and it's got a proper stand for it too. So
it does.
It deserves desk space, which I think is the ultimate compliment of any device.
Absolutely.
You're actually going for real gifts. I was going for like affordable things.
Well, I mean, I've got a couple of affordable. What's your affordable?
Go ahead, Rick.
What
do you got?
Two things. Well, one of them is actually I was given one of these, and it's actually it's a good conversation piece. This is one of those items that goes inside your geekosphere.
Geekosphere?
You know what your geekosphere is? The geekosphere is the 24 inches all the way around your monitor.
Okay.
That's the geekosphere. Right?
My monitors are bigger than that, but okay.
No. It's the
radiance.
So it's automatically the scale.
So you notice how I'm moving my arms almost the full span, because that's how much monitor we're talking about.
So, right? You know, if you've got like a 27-inch 4K or whatever it is, you've got dual of those, it's around the edge of that.
Okay.
Right?
Because that's where your geekosphere. Right? I like that concept a lot.
And next someone gave me this. It's a USB rock.
A rock.
It's a USB pet rock.
So if you're old school right now, pet rocks were a thing
when I was young.
So it literally is, it's a small rock that has a hole drilled inside of it and then a USB cable sticking out of it.
Okay.
And it comes in a little house that's a little box with air holes in it.
Yeah, the old pet rock straw.
Of course it does. The obvious question is, What does it do?
Well, I'm scared to plug it in because
you don't know where.
I don't know if it actually has like a USB storage. It doesn't have USB storage on it. Literally, well, it's just like a rock with a cable on it. But I'm just picturing some kind of security researcher has probably put a
just to see
a,
if you're down
a little small, like, you know, 1 meg or sorry, 1 gig USB drive with corrupted firmware that's going to go off and do something. Supposedly, well, you know, it hasn't said anything.
You could go down that path, right? When we talk about rocks, we talk about billions of years old. That goes back to this whole concept of ancient viruses. Mm-hmm. So it could be an ancient virus at the end of that USB cable.
Are we going to end up with Jurassic Park if somebody plugs this thing in? That's what I want to know. Well, this is fantastic. I mean, but think about this. The entrepreneurial thinking behind this.
Yes. Yep.
Some guy's like, I was a big fan of Pet Rocks, and now that there's this USB, let's just go out to the yard.
Yep.
Pick up kids, now, go collect some rocks for daddy.
I would have to say that if this particular version is just a rock with a cable in it, it would be great to be able to upgrade this to, let's reverse engineer this and actually put a USB stick inside of it.
Nice. Because there is a note here that says draws no power.
Right.
that's probably a hint.
Yes.
Is this going to be one of those things that somebody sticks inside of a time capsule?
Yes.
And so some guy goes
100 years from now.
Yes. And digs up a time capsule from 1976 and sees a pet rock and they go, what the hell? And then 10, 20 years later, they dig up another one from this era and they're going, they've attached a cable to it. What were they thinking?
Advanced.
Yeah, civilization must have advanced.
Progress has been made.
Do you have any geek gadgets? Is there something that you're dying to have or that you're looking at going, we should brand these and send them out?
Well, one of the big themes that have come across Ron as this year has been the whole security breach side of things, just in general, right? This issue of there's just so many breaches, and it's not just every IT guy needs to have this in their head. You know, if you work in operations, you're responsible for stuff, you've got to be thinking a little bit. And I think it's really nice that the hack shop guys have actually put together holiday bundle hacking kits.
So for that future hacker.
So for and like the top of the line one, the Hack 5 field kit, it's $200.
The Hack 5000.
Yeah. Well, but it's got quite a collection of gear in it. So, I mean, the basic concept here, and it's something Troy Hunt talks about all the time, right?
Yeah.
Hack yourself first.
Yeah.
So for instance, in this kit is a rubber ducky. Have you run across the rubber ducky? You know what this thing is?
No.
It looks like a USB key. It's shaped like a USB key, has a USB tab on the end of it. But when you actually plug it into the machine, it's a keyboard. And it starts typing.
Oh, nice.
And it's fast. So you know whoever you hand this thing to is logged in as an administrator on their machine. That's just a given. Mm-hmm. They plug it in, think it's the USB key, and it just rapes their machine.
Whoa.
Whap.
And now you own them.
Cow.
And now you've got everything you need to know about that machine in this rubber duck. It's astonishing, the stuff that's in there. You can configure it however you want about the different things you want to do, but it's just every rootkit you've ever heard of, every hacking tools built into this rubber ducky. You set it up, plug it in any machine. Like, you need to try this. You need to take one of these things and try it on some of the machines in your office and find out just how vulnerable you actually are.
Wow.
Like, and the rubber ducky by itself is not that expensive, right? It's at $20. But so you think for $200, the things that are in this kit, Wi-Fi hacking tools, Ethernet breachers, Ethernet interceptors sits between the cable and the machine and will track all the data. Like, all of that stuff's in this kit.
Wow.
This sounds like a Troy Hunt kind of gift, I think.
Well, you know what? He's already got this stuff.
I was about to say.
And this was exactly my point, right? It's like, we should all spend a little time with this equipment and be aware of what's possible. Start thinking in terms of, here's a $20 thing I can order on the internet that will simply take down every password in my machine. Mm-hmm. So what am I going to do about that? And then actually start working on that problem and trying it. Can you defeat the rubber ducky?
It's kind of that secure by design principle, right? Everybody starts talking about, and DevOps is being thrown around a lot, and you start talking about this whole idea or the concept of kind of coming together. You look at what Microsoft did when we shut down basically all development.
Yeah.
When, hey, look, no, it's not secure it after the fact. It's secure it as we go through the design and the development of it. And IT infrastructure is almost like that. Now, and granted, I mean, I can imagine one of these being extremely valuable if you are a new person to a company. You're the new IT manager. You're the new IT guy coming into a company and you have no idea what might be there.
Right.
you know, just using that just to get your baseline.
We should have a disclaimer here that basically says, make sure you have authorization to use this.
Yeah, you don't run this in production.
You don't want to be the new IT guy that comes into a shop and says, oh, look what I got for Christmas.
Yeah.
And destroys
and all of a sudden you own everything. No, no, it's not like that. It would be, like you said, you're hacking yourself.
Yeah, hack yourself just so you know what others could do. I mean, look, if you can order a rubber ducky online, bring it in and stick it in the network, anybody in your office can.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's just sort of reality.
Wow, man. Way to bring the show down. Jeez.
We started off with cool Star Trek communicator.
You're talking about a rubber ducky is going to blow up Armageddon. Craziness.
You know. Well, if you're looking for a mid-range price.
Mid-range, okay.
Geek item. Mm-hmm. For about $65.
That's passable.
That's a nice number.
On the Amazons.
Yeah.
There is a lamp. So we talked about Star Trek. Let's talk about Star Wars.
Right.
It is actually a basically a lamp, an LED lamp, seven different colors of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, I love it.
And so this thing, it kind of looks like an architectural blow up.
So
of
it's the like Millennium an exploded Falcon. Version.
Yeah, exactly. With all the little lines and what's in there and everything. And I've seen a similar type of lamp, which is Darth Vader, right? Mm-hmm. Where they do the Darth Vader and the kind of the 3D kind of line view. But you know, this is fantastic in terms of, you know, the fact that it's got multiple colors. It's Star Wars. It's the Falcon. I mean, you really can't go wrong with
no.
the Falcon. If they had one of these of a TIE fighter, I'd be in. I am, for some reason, the TIE fighter is probably one of my favorite vehicles in the Star Wars universe.
And maybe it's an age thing too. It's like, this was the thing that grabbed us when we were kids, when the first movie came out. You know, we all wanted to fly the TIE fighter around. It was the little one-seat fighter. It had that beautiful look to it.
Yeah, the coolest sound. It has some of the coolest sound effects in movies. That,
yeah.
You know, and I guess everybody's like, you know, are you Rebel? Are you Empire? I guess I've always
kind Empire of all the
leaned
way.
Toward the... Well, Stormtroopers are my favorite characters, right? They just look awesome. Like, if I could join the 501st, if I wasn't 6 foot freaking six tall, right?
You and they're like, get one
you
of
know, you talk to the guys at the 501st and they're like, you're either Vader or you're a Wookiee.
Yeah, you've got nothing else.
You know, and we've already got six Vaders, so forget it. Right? So
you could be a Wookiee for sure, man.
You'd be a little warm.
But so you got a man cave, you got your office, you can get one of these little lamps.
Absolutely.
Multicolor.
Trivia fact.
Yeah.
Do you know what sound effect they used and where they found the sound effect for the sound of the Millennium Falcon?
No.
It was actually a radiator. Inside of like an old steam radiator that was inside one of the sound stages.
Yeah.
That was the sound that they used as the bass sound to create the sound of the thrusters that are used on the Falcon.
That's hilarious. Is the radiator coming on?
And they just, or is that leaking?
It wasn't leaking. It's literally, you know, the sound that the old steam radiators have when they start to pressurize and everything like that.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That's pretty funny. I was just reading a piece that said that they modeled the cockpit of the Falcon on the B-29 cockpit.
Oh, yeah.
They actually take a photo from the back shot. Yeah, totally. It's the same layout almost to the last detail.
Yeah.
It's really interesting how much World War II combat vehicle and styling is in all of that original Star Wars series.
Yeah, I find it very interesting because you hear these stories about where they got various sound effects, like the blasters or somebody hitting a taut cable a high tension cable. These guys who create, like, and this is in the era before all this digital stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because nowadays, digitally, you can manipulate sound.
Make whatever sound you want.
You make whatever you want. You know, we like that, but let's do this, let's do that. These guys are like, you know, some guy's out walking his kids around, here's a high tension wire and goes, we're going to record that, right? We don't know when we're going to use it.
But I need that.
But they had these libraries. They have these libraries of all sorts of crazy sounds. And they're just, it's not until they're actually in production going, we need to make a sound for something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and that's just a fascinating world to me. Is some guys just got in his head. Just that one thing that's like me with music, right? I know when I hear something that's going to be successful, I just know.
You grab it.
It's just one of those things that in my mind, okay, this is, you know, when I hear a track and I know it's going to be a dance floor filler is when I picture myself playing it and seeing a dance floor's reaction. And it's just all in my head.
Yep.
These guys have that same kind of thing to them. They're
sounds.
Just like, hey, it's the sound,
that's
right?
That sound.
Oh, what is it? Oh, we can grab a watermelon and stick our hand in it. It'll sound like, you know,
the whole
somebody
Foley
sticking
artist
their hand
thing.
And pulling out a heart, you know. These guys, that's a really intriguing thing.
That's the thing they like to do. You know, there's a lot of opinions around George Lucas in general. And many of them not that positive, but you know, he is the originator of Industrial Light and Magic.
Yes.
And of Skywalker Sound. Like, you can criticize his stories to some degree, or the way that he told some of them, but
or modified stories that shouldn't have been modified.
Yeah. But yeah, and his need to keep refining an existing film. But what he did to the movie industry is permanent and changed everything, and it stayed changed. And so, you know, I think 100 years from now, we may still, you know, think the films are novel and so forth, but his effect on the ways movies are made, that I think is the more important contribution.
Yeah, from everything from the visual to the sound. I mean, Skywalker Sound, if I had a place to go to just to go and take a tour.
Yeah.
Right, just to see, because my understanding is that they still have some of the original studios and these sound areas that, and they, you know, they've not upgraded them. They are still the way that it was when Skywalker Sound was created. I want to say that was in the 80s when he created those. And it has a unique sound quality to it that is specific because of the equipment that is being used.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, you can jump all the way up to the digital area where the reality is I can do what they were doing for Star Wars with these massive soundboards and all sorts of crazy microphones and everything on my Surface.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's just
digital is that nature. And of course, we're recording this before the new movies come out.
Yes.
And this will come out after the new movies come out, but I am optimistic. I'm just going to lay it out there. A week from now, I may be crucified.
So there are already reviews. There have already been people. Australia's already seen it.
Right.
I've noticed in my thread. I have basically turned off.
Don't want to know.
Yep. I'm completely. I've not read anything about the stories.
Yep.
I've watched the trailers. I've watched the trailers a couple of times for a coolness factor. I'm not looking in and analyzing what is the story going. I don't want to know.
No,
I just want to be able to go and sit in that theater at 11 o'clock on Thursday and get that
amazing experience.
Yeah.
I'm totally with you. Guys, let me pay the bills because Run As Radio is brought to you by Script Rock, the fighters of configuration drift. Configuration drift happens in every environment from 5 nodes to 5,000. Script Rock will find and scan the configs of every node in your environment, no matter the platform, and alert you to changes happening across machines. And now with the latest update, Script Rock offers vulnerability scanning on all your nodes at no extra cost. Give it a try for 3 months free with the coupon code RUNASRADIO, all one word, at scriptrock.com/RUNASRADIO. Rick!
I love how he does that, man. It's just, makes me want to go off and try Script Rock.
You know, the best thing about doing your own ads so forth is like I get to pick my own sponsors, too.
Yeah, totally.
These guys make a great product. Like, it's just so nice to be able to promote something I love. Use and I think is phenomenal. So yeah, and they gave you only get 30 days. You just go to the website. You use the Run As code. You get three months.
Right.
Oh, fantastic.
Take it out for a spin, and it catches every little detail. You tweak anything on a set of machines that are supposed to be configured identically. I'm thinking web servers. Yeah. Right away, you're going to get a message from Script Rock going, "Hey, this is different." You know.
Stop it.
Yeah. Well, you've played with the app pool recycle time.
Right? Yeah.
And it's like, nope. That's different. Anyway, go to scriptrop.com. Tell them thanks for sponsoring Run As Radio.
Absolutely.
Rick, you're up.
Well, I'm kind of torn here because this is actually solving an issue that I've got in my house. And now you talked about this as well. Real technology. It's about a NAS device.
Yeah, so this is
tell me your Synology guy.
This is something that we actually brought up on our last show.
Oh.
And we didn't get an answer to because there's some competing topics on this. I want to put in a NAS device, and I'm torn. Do I go with something like a Synology device?
Yep.
Right. Kind of off the shelf, low power. Anything else, or do I roll my own?
Do you? Well, because you know, the company you work for.
That's right.
You know, they're getting pretty big on this. Just a pile of drives, everything.
Absolutely. Software.
So it comes down to as well. I was having a discussion with this with some of the file server guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because consumer grade NAS devices are designed to be easy and simple and undo a whole bunch of stuff to make it easy and simple.
Right.
So they're not necessarily the kind of things that most IT professionals would want to have inside of their own network, let alone their home network, to be used as a dumb file server. And so that's where it's like, we probably will just end up going back to using a real server that I have control over the entire OS, can tweak as I want. And be able to have that fronting a bunch of drives, for my software-defined network.
And that's the nature of our skill set, right, too. It's right. Like you tend to want to have more control than the average mortal wants.
Yeah, so, you know, so the Synology-type devices, that sort of stuff, they're designed to be plug-and-play. You put them in, you put in your drives, yep. patch it on, you hit a web page, and you manage
stuff just
it.
Works.
But you never know who's the guys that actually wrote that interface, wrote the Linux kernel, is yep. it patched, is it maintained, is there any yeah. kind of backdoor vulnerabilities, mm-hmm. what kind of daemons are running on that device, and is yep. it accessible from the internet?
Yes.
So, I mean, you could easily have someone with a rubber duck show up at your house.
Who would do that?
I don't know. But all of a sudden, they're doing like a man-in-the-middle attack to be able to find out that something's going on with that device. And then they just simply, oh, well, we'll not only just encrypt and hang on to all the stuff on your machine, we'll also do it on the file shares that you've used in the last yeah. 30 days. Oh, look, here's one over here.
Yeah.
Boom. There you go. So that's why it's, for me, it's a gray area. I'm of the flavor of I'd rather roll my own and do stuff. Mm-hmm. Put a nano server in there, file sure. server off of it, that sort of stuff if I wanted to, but then have a bunch of drives on it. But then you're paying for the power, you're paying for everything else. So go cloud-based. I don't know. I'm torn. But NAS devices have come up. They are pretty popular. And for a geek in you, it's an option.
Any favorite NAS device? You got to pick, man.
See? That's where I'm like, that's why I was hesitant to bring this one up because there are a lot of them. I have heard good things about Synology
yep.
For stuff, for things.
And Synology runs enterprise-grade solutions yes. too. So yes. That's, yes. that's one of the attractive things is that I can get something that is built by somebody who has enterprise class mm-hmm. with and far and away from my research that I've done on this, Synology has the best interface. Like it is the NAS interface to be, you know, everybody else is trying to model
on. Yeah. I have IT friends who run Synology at home. And it will back up to Azure Blob Storage.
Yep. Interesting.
As well as cool. S3.
But the inner IT geek in me is just like, well, I just spent, you know, a obnoxious amount of time researching parts to build a new PC for my audio studio at home.
You clearly overthought
it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I start researching this and I'm like, well, but see, if I went and bought this board with this power supply and used this processor, I can get my power down to 20 kilowatts per month or whatever it is, which is about what some of these devices are pulling.
Right.
And then and then I've got unlimited storage, but then I'm like, but I want the small form factor, which means, well, that's limiting what I can put in terms of motherboard and the number of drives. And then, well, I can always extend it by just using, you know, an eSATA JBOD or, you know, some of those things. So it's one of these things I'm trying because like, I love the simplicity. I just plug it in and that dang thing's going to work and everything's going to be backed up and I'm good.
Yep.
But am I just going to end up redoing this and spending the same amount of dollars and maybe just a little bit more because I can get more storage if I did my own.
Yeah.
So another option is out there as well as Lenovo actually makes some too.
Anova?
Lenovo.
Lenovo. You know,
Lenovo.
The laptop guys.
Yeah. So basically Lenovo obviously has some stuff in the news of late for different things for different consumer grade laptops, mm-hmm. but they also make some nice NAS devices as well. This is from
I have to check that out.
My thread from my file server PM friend.
So this is the Idea names. Center home storage units.
I don't remember which one specifically, but you know he mentions a bunch of ones that you obviously want to run away screaming from, and I'm not going to mention those ones. But he says that these two are two good brands to take a look at.
Interesting.
So I'll see if I can find for the show notes.
Yeah, please.
I'll see if I can find a recommendation.
You know, that's probably one of the coolest benefits of our job is that when we have these crazy thoughts of how like, would we do this,
like,
we go, let's go ask these guys what their thought is because they do this for a living, right?
We know a lot of guys.
We know a guy.
This is like, for instance, the guy I'm talking to is actually like the father of the PM. Sorry, he is the PM of SMB2.
Oh, my.
The guy that built it.
Yeah.
Well, led the team that built
it. Led the team that built it. Yeah.
And different iterations thereof.
That's pretty funny.
That's awesome.
In love with my fifth generation Intel NUC.
Ah, yes.
Oh, and now seed. The sixth are out.
I have to say that you have a NUC affair.
Yeah, no, I don't knock around, man. You know, the two things I really like about the NUC. First off, the 100 mil form factor, it literally is built to bolt onto a 100 mil VESA mount on the back of a monitor.
Yes.
And fanless, like completely silent. So this one has wife acceptance factor, right? Or spouse acceptance factor.
Absolutely.
I have one of these in the kitchen with a big Dell touchscreen that's used as the kitchen computer, right? So the whole household uses this now, right? This is where you write your shopping list and all that sort of thing, all synced on OneNote. So when I'm going to the grocery store, I just pull out my phone and there's the OneNote shopping list that everyone contributed to and I can check stuff off.
Who's it signed in as?
Out of curiosity.
in the NUC in there? Do you have it signed in as a kitchen account? Campbell account?
It's a kitchen account.
That has access to this to the shared thing as opposed to you having to sign in or you having to sign in?
Yeah, no, it's a kitchen account.
You could upgrade that now to have like a, if you want to use the same device, go with a Kinect and then put on Windows Hello.
Yeah.
So that as you walk past, it says, oh. There you go.
It's one of the things I was just thinking about because it might be fun to have everybody's faces mapped to that thing and just switch accounts whenever you walked past the thing.
That could work.
But yeah, you know, if you don't need leading edge performance, like the machine you just built, Joey, like 90% of the cases, these NUCs do the job.
Yeah, I was looking at a similar form factor and I want to say it's the Bricks. Forget who builds it.
That's the one that the nano team uses right now.
Yeah,
right?
And I've been looking at those, and the pricing now just keeps, because you know, new release of processor, you can get the previous gen running, I think, the Haswell, which it's very quality processor.
It's plenty fast. And what this is basically mobile chipset stuff.
Yeah.
And the big thing that happens with mobile chipsets is the moment there's a next generation out, like, they just can't sell them.
Yeah.
So this is just battery out, screen out, like all the stuff that makes a laptop, all of that packed in as small a box as possible. If you get a generation or two older, they're a couple $100.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you can just group a bunch of them together. Right? I mean, you can run.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it, right? Well, a bunch of them together, run a bunch of Hyper-V. There you go. There's
back in like the 2008, 2009 timeframe when I was part of Strange Loop, the company we made devices making websites going faster, I was the evangelist. I was out in the field showing, you know, raising the tide on understanding how hard it is to make a website go fast. And so really the only way you can demonstrate that is to have a load balanced website that people can look at.
Right.
If you do it with VMs, right, in a Dellosaurus or one of the big Lenovo's or something, it doesn't look like anything.
No.
So before the NUC, before all this stuff, AOpen made these little mini PCs. They're about
absolutely
6 by 6 by an inch and a half. Yeah. So I could get 6 of those in a rollaway bag with all the networking gear. So you could actually do a load balanced web server with a back end and load test machines and so forth. I called the bag secondary inspection.
Nice.
Because that's what the TSA called it.
Every single time you go through an airport.
Well, so I came to the realization there was no point in taking the bag apart because they would always secondary inspect you anyway, right?
Yeah.
So my ritual, and you're carrying it on because goodness knows you don't want to check that thing.
No. Right?
That's the end of that bag.
Checking a laptop.
So I would, you know, close in the first bin so I can get dressed while everything else is happening. Laptop or two in separate bins, laptop bag. And then secondary inspection is the last thing through the belt. Get through the scanner, start getting your clothes on, just watch the guy on the machine.
Yeah.
Right? When you see him seize, right? He has that twitch, then wave. Hey, it's mine. It's me. I'll see you down there because we're going to have a secondary inspection. The other thing I've discovered, because I travel this thing a lot, was the fastest way through a secondary inspection is to be really excited to show them what's in the bag. Wait till you see this bag. It's the best bag ever. They can take about 60 seconds of that, and then they're like, you need to get away from me.
Yeah. Well, now you can...
If we put them in a NUX, that 20-inch rollaway bag full of NUX, I mean, you're talking 30 of them?
Oh, at a minimum, yeah.
If we strip the cases off them and actually built a blade chassis for it, one power supply in the bottom of the bag and just all these little NUC blades going up.
Okay, I think we have a home project working on now.
Now.
I think you just described like the next generation of dedicated hardware in one of our data centers.
I just built a supercomputer in a 20-inch rollaway bag.
It's TSA approved.
No, the biggest problem with stripping the chassis off those things,
yeah,
putting all those machines in with all the wire, it looks like a bomb.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You get
there's secondary inspection, and then there's inspection.
Then there's tertiary inspection. You don't want anything to do with
just
that.
Just make sure you don't forget to leave your alarm clock inside that area.
Yeah, that would be good. Or nothing that vibrates or buzzes or anything like that.
Or have some kind of lithium batteries in there to power it as backup power.
Well, guys, this has been a ton of fun, but I think we're already over time.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
I didn't even get to the last item.
Oh, do it. We can't miss your last item.
Okay, so I've got the low end.
Yes.
Friends, $27.
Yes.
For the core game, expansions are $15. There's a card game that was the biggest rage at Comic-Con. It's called Super Fight.
Super Fight.
Yes. So essentially what you do is you draw a superhero and power. So let me give you an example.
Okay.
So Mr. Rogers,
yes,
made of sand and armed with a rotating machine gun turret, fights Stephen Hawking, who's armed with a baguette that is three stories tall.
I love it.
Oh, this one. A senior citizen bowling team on a jet ski and armed with nunchucks versus a kindergarten class that just drank five energy drinks and, and sprays neurotoxin. This is
the kids are going to kill everything.
Absolutely. This is a game that you have to play. This hilarious. Is kind of, I see this as potentially the geek version. Though geeks love Cards Against Humanity, but this is the ultimate geek version of it.
Yes. The other one I love was Exploding Kittens.
Oh, I haven't seen Exploding Kittens.
What? Yeah. Exploding Kittens.
But they power the internet.
Yeah. Well, apparently you can get a card game where they explode. I've played Exploding Kittens. I've certainly played lots of Cards Against Humanity. Wow. But now I need to play Super Fight.
Yeah, and then everybody argues about it, right? Who would win in a fight with between a woolly mammoth that's afraid of its own shadow and throws knives versus a T-Rex that uses the force and has 1 million Twitter followers? I mean, these are things that, these are big problems that we need to address them. As geeks, we need to have these conversations.
I love it.
I feel like I've just watched an episode of like Big Bang Theory or something. But no, this is fantastic.
I think we need to do the next Run As Radio show playing this game together.
I totally agree. Like
that.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Bring the card game. I'll bring the barbecue.
We'll get some bourbon or some beer going.
Plenty of bourbon.
Set. Yeah, it'd be fantastic. I had to throw that in. I know you're over time, but.
Joey, thank you so much for coming out. Rick,
hey,
my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us. Oh, wait, we had you here.
Yes, yeah. And thanks for hosting and providing the recording equipment.
Can we promote our show?
And yeah. Please, when is Patch and Switch back from hiatus?
So Patch and Switch is coming back in the new year. I believe the first show is going to be the first week of January.
Fantastic.
I have my esteemed colleague here actually checking the exact
date. Going to be Friday the 8th.
So we take place every fortnight. Oh, sorry, a fortnight every Friday. Is that the right way
to say every
it?
Other Friday.
Every basically. Other Friday.
Every other Fridays. And you can find us out at www.patchandswitch.com. It's a live stream. So besides audio, we also have video and a chat room that gets quite
saucy.
Involved, to say the least.
I've been on it. We had a great time.
We talk about nothing, but it's all IT related, nothing, as well as beer making. So it's nothing, but you know, it's a good way to spend an hour on a Friday to just kind of decompress the brain a little.
I'm pretty sure we did 15 minutes straight on brisket.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. Barbecue controls. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That we were I was going to have that as one of my gifts, but I already bought it for myself. So I've used it a couple times. Dude, it's very nice.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.